I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And we'll start off with verses 34 and 35. The message is topical, not expository today, so we will be covering a number of scriptures, but this is the first scripture that we'll be looking at in the message. Joseph and Mary have brought baby Jesus to the temple to present him to the Lord. And they are met by Simeon, who was a prophet. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Let us pray. Father, we commit this message to you. We pray, Lord, that you will minister to hearts through this message. Enable me, Lord, to proclaim this message in your truth. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is Mother's Day, a very special day for mothers, a day when mothers receive gifts, they receive hugs, they receive special meals, they receive cards, they receive other expressions of love. And what a special day this is. It's a day when mothers of grown children oftentimes get to see their children or at least hear from their children through a phone call. And to give love and appreciation and honor to mothers, especially on Mother's Day, is certainly the right thing to do. You realize, of course, that the Ten Commandments are broken into two sections. The commandments relating to our relationship to God and our commandments relating to our relationship to one another. And what is the commandment that heads the list regarding our relationship to one another? It is the fifth commandment: honor your father and your mother. And so to honor mothers on this day and every day is certainly the right thing to do. And even if you don't have a mother that's still living, and even if Mother's Day may be painful for some of you, still the Bible says we are to rejoice with those who rejoice. And we should rejoice with every mother here today who is full of joy, because this is indeed a very special day for you. Yet some are not here today because it's Mother's Day. Mother's Day is very painful for them. Others are here in spite of the pain that they feel. They're still perhaps grieving the loss of a mother. Perhaps they're grieving the loss of a child. Perhaps they've had a miscarriage. Perhaps they are hurt because they're not receiving the love, honor, and appreciation on this day that they desire. Perhaps their child is in jail and she feels guilty, wondering how she could have been a better mother. If on Mother's Day you are hurting, or someone you care about in your life is hurting, this message is especially for you. Actually, today I'm preaching a message of the likes on Mother's Day that I've never preached before in 40 years of ministry. And yet, I think perhaps it's time to also preach a message for those who are hurting on Mother's Day. I do not wish to put a damper on the joy that you feel on this Mother's Day. But you know, I said in Romans 12:15, we are to rejoice with those who rejoice. Well, you know what else that verse says? Weep with those who weep. And so we rejoice, but we also can weep for those who are weeping. And so I want to address some of the reasons why some find Mother's Day painful, why some avoid church on Mother's Day because they'd rather not deal with the pain, but also to give hope to those who are hurting. because God is a God who heals not only the body, but also the soul, also the emotions that we may feel. And so I want to share with you, first of all, this morning, examples from the Bible of those who have hurt, mothers who have hurt, and the depth of pain and weeping that we see in Scripture on the parts of mothers, I believe is based on a principle. And the principle is this: the greater the love, the greater the hurt when we experience a loss concerning those we love. Isn't that a true statement? That's why we hurt so deeply, because we love so greatly. And many are experiencing grief and pain on this day. But you know, how does motherhood begin? It begins with a whole lot of pain. In fact, if it weren't for modern anesthesia, you know, you'd feel the full brunt of it. And something that begins with so much pain, don't be surprised if there are going to be times of pain in your life as a mother. And I want to share with you a few examples this morning of mothers who are hurting on this day. And of course, heading the list is those who hurt from the death of a child. I started off with Luke chapter 2, where Mary, the mother of Jesus, was presenting Jesus to the Lord at the temple. And Simeon said, "A sword will pierce your heart also." A sword will pierce your heart. Now, I believe that that prophecy was especially fulfilled as Jesus stood before the Sanhedrin, as Jesus stood before Pilate, and his own nation rejected him, condemning him to death. And when Mary heard the news that her son had been condemned to death, it was as if a sword had pierced her heart. And then, as Mary no doubt witnessed her son Jesus carrying that cross and falling at times beneath the weight of that cross, the sword pierced her heart. And then, as they brought him to Calvary, Mary following along as they drove those big spikes into his hands and his feet, and I would imagine Jesus would have yelled out in anguish, "A sword pierced her heart." And then as she stood by as a faithful mother, supporting her son in her time of suffering, to hear the jeers of the crowd and the mockings of the crowd and the rejection of the crowd, a sword pierced her heart. But then, as long as he was alive, she had hope that he would overcome his enemies and come down from that cross and live. But then at 3 o'clock that afternoon, she witnessed the death of her son, and a sword pierced her heart yet again. She experienced pain like she had never experienced in her life at the death of her child. Children are to bury their parents. It's not supposed to be the other way around. And yet it has happened many a time. And so many mothers hurt on this Mother's Day because of a death of a child. In Matthew, we read that King Herod, in order to destroy the rival king, ordered his men to go into Bethlehem and to kill every boy aged 2 years and younger. And there must have been a dozen boys killed that day. And so was fulfilled the prophecy of Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Imagine the pain and heartache of those mothers in Bethlehem that day. And then Naomi went down into Moab and In Moab, her husband died. She became a widow. Both of her sons died. No more children. She buried both of her sons. And when she came back to Israel, she said, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." Oh, the grief of her heart, and she was bitter about it. In preparing for this message, I searched for the words for those who heard on Mother's Day, my exact same title, and I found a blog by a pastor. And in the blog, he expressed some of the sentiments that I'm expressing today, and people started responding to that blog. And it was pages and pages of women who have been hurting who responded to that blog. And one of the responses was this one. "My son died January 21, 2012 at the age of 26. He battled cancer for 7 years. So proud of him for never acting like or living like he had cancer. And he always said, 'I've lived my life, Mom. Look at these babies fighting cancer. It's not fair.'" What a son. She was proud of him. She said, "I cry every day. I want my son back." She represents others. One of my best friends from Bible college, he got married just before Cheryl and I did. I was at his wedding and standing as one of his groomsmen. And he and his wife had 4 children. The oldest was Adrian, named after Adrian Rogers, the great preacher. A couple months ago, I received a call or received a message that their son Adrian had died 34 years old. I received a note from the mother yesterday thanking us for reaching out to them in their time of loss, and I couldn't help but think, boy, tomorrow's Mother's Day. It's going to be hard on Barbara. And so, yes, there are some who hurt over the death of a child. There's hardly a pain that compares with it. And then, of course, there are some who are hurting today from a mother's death. When I invited you to put your hand on your mother, your mother's not here. Your mother's not with us anymore. And one of the great sorrows of life is the death of one's mother. This is reflected in Psalm 35, verse 14. "I bow down heavily as one who mourns for his mother." I've had several members, family members, to pass away. But in the year 2000, my mother passed away. And different from the others was the death of my mother because, I don't know, it just felt like there was a hole there. Just something that weighs heavily upon you. And in Genesis 26:67, there's a reference to Isaac. And it wasn't until God gave him that blessed wife that he finally found comfort after the death of his mother. That same blog, a woman wrote, a man wrote, "I lost my wife yesterday suddenly and out of nowhere. I had to tell my 4-year-old daughter that her mommy was gone and in heaven. And I'm angry and sad and hurt and broken this Mother's Day." That blog appeared on Mother's Day. And that's what he wrote. But in the face of grief, in the face of the loss of a child, the loss of a mother, I'm glad to stand here and tell you that Jesus said, "Because I live, you shall live also." And I'll see my mother again, and you have the hope of seeing your mother again. And Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that you sorrow not even as others who have no hope. Yes, we will sorrow, but not as those who have no hope, because we will see that loved one again. There are others that grieve and find hurt from infertility. Hannah was not able to have children. They tried and tried and couldn't have children, and yet her husband, this is back in the day when you'd marry more than one wife a lot of times, and the other wife, she had children, you know. And that just made it all the worse for poor Hannah. And she felt the grief in her heart. And I can't believe that other wife, the scripture says in 1 Samuel 1:6, that the other wife provoked her severely to make her miserable. I've got all these children, and look at you. Can you imagine that? And so we're not surprised to read in verse 10 that she went to the temple and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. And so, yes, on Mother's Day, as we invite mothers to stand up, and I honestly forgot to do that this morning, but as we invite mothers to stand up, there are those who are not mothers that are not standing that sometimes find that a little painful because they wanted almost more than anything to be a mother. But there is hope in the Word of God. As long as there's possibility for you to have a child, we read in Psalm 113:9, he gives the childless woman a household, making her the joyful mother of children. Oh yes, there have been a number who have just given up on having children, and it wasn't until they gave up that God blessed them with a child some years later. Adoption is an option that some have been able to be blessed with. But what about those who have lost hope of ever having their own children? Again, a mother wrote in response to that blog, "I don't have children. I do have a stepdaughter whom I love, but she has a mother. An adoption fell through years ago, and we said we're done. I'm now 61 years young and still get a heavy sadness on Mother's Day. I don't go to church on Mother's Day unless I'm scheduled to play in the worship band." But you remember that praise chorus, that praise song we sang a little while ago? Christ is all I need. I know it's hard to accept when in the providence of God there's something in your life missing. I know it's hard to accept, but Christ is all we really need. If we have Christ, we have it all. Colossians says you're complete in Him. And also, we not only have Christ, but we have another family. We have a church family. Jesus was with this big crowd, and the mother and brother of Jesus couldn't get to him, and they said, "Look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." But he answered them saying, "Who is my mother and my brothers?" And he looked around that inner circle especially, and he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother." Jesus is talking about a spiritual family that God gives us. Listen, when I moved away from my mother in 1987, Miles separated us, and there were a number of older ladies in this church that became like moms to me. And when my mother passed away, they're still like moms to me. Dear sisters in Christ, and here you have a family. And it's only your spiritual family is the family you'll be with for all eternity. These are your brothers, your sisters in Christ. And if you do not have children of your own, then you can volunteer for in our children's ministry and establish special relationships with the children that we have here. By the way, including my granddaughter Elizabeth, very special girl. You ought to, if you have an opportunity to establish a relationship with her, boy, what a wonderful child. Her dad is here, by the way. And so God ministers and compensates for our hurts and our losses. But then there's also the pain of a rebellious child, and the Word of God acknowledges this, especially in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 10:1, a wise son makes a glad father, and a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Proverbs 17:25 says, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. And then Proverbs 19:26 says, he who mistreats his father or chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. And so you see why Mother's Day is not a good day for mothers of prodigals. And it's a time when they often grieve. There's no doubt that a mother is to love, instruct, set an example, discipline their child. And generally speaking, good parents and good parenting produces good children. Yet the correlation between good parenting and good outcomes is not automatic, because there are other factors besides who you are as a parent and your own parenting skills. There are factors such as genetics, which also contribute to genetic disorders that children may develop. There's also the influences of friends and society outside the home. There's also the child's own self-will. God does not make us robots where we can just program an individual and they are forced to conform to the programming. Each child has their own self-will. Some children have turned out well in spite of bad parenting, and some children have turned out poorly in spite of good parenting. When I was going to seminary in Dallas, Texas, we made friends with another couple. And that couple, he went to school with me. We lived in the same apartment complex. They had two children to start with, a boy and a girl. And they were model children, compliant, well-behaved, good kids. And then the third one came along, a boy, not surprising. And this boy was hyperactive. He was stubborn, self-willed, not compliant. He was a handful. Now, with the first two children, they were very proud of themselves as parents. They thought they could write a book on parenting, a bestseller. And then the third one came along and God humbled them. They realized, hey, kids are individuals. I don't know what happened to that child. I hope he turned out fine, but you just never, never know. But again, because of this reality, mothers of prodigals need to be careful not to beat themselves up over what has happened to their child, because there's a lot of factors that can contribute to that reality. But you know, there's another hope. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Yes, there have been a number of prodigals that years down the line have come back to the Lord and have been the kind of persons that their mothers always wanted them to be. Then there's one other example of those who hurt on Mother's Day, and that is those who hurt from an uncaring or absentee mother. They didn't grow up with a good mother. Perhaps she had a mental health difficulty. Perhaps she developed an addiction to drugs or alcohol. Perhaps she was just a single mother struggling and just had to work two or three jobs and just couldn't be there for the children like they wanted to and was absent a lot. And a lot of different factors of why a person may have felt like they were just missing something from their mother. And for such people, sometimes Mother Day is not a good day. But I want to share a little hope. Psalm 27 verse 10 says, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me." Listen, God is your heavenly Father no matter what. He loves you no matter what. Many times the Old Testament talks about God being the one who cares for the widow and the orphan, as reflected in this scripture. And then I think of Isaiah 49, verse 15, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb?" Surely they may forget. It does happen sometimes. Yet God says, "I will never forget you." And again, as I said earlier, whatever's missing in your life that other people seem to have, let God fill the void. Let God be that one that you turn to. And so I want to share, last of all, this morning, not only examples of those who hurt on Mother's Day, but how to respond to life's hurt. And here we're broadening it, not just to those who hurt on Mother's Day, but all of life's hurts. How are we to respond when we get hurt? You know, one of our first responses oftentimes is with tears. And science has proven that through the shedding of tears, our body releases endorphins that actually help us to feel better. But beyond that initial response, remember the Lord cares for you. You know, I made the allusion to the fact that the widow who had lost her only son and was weeping in that funeral procession. The Bible says in Luke 7:13 that Jesus had compassion on her. And God has compassion on those who are hurting. You can be certain of that. And because we believe that, the psalmist said in Psalm 25 and verse 18, "Look on my affliction and my pain." Have you ever gone to God in prayer and just said, "God, you know how I'm hurting. God, I lift up my pain. I lift up my affliction to you. I seek healing from you." And because God cares, because He has compassion upon us, 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." Secondly, when life deals you a blow, when you're hurt, reject bitterness. Reject bitterness. A lot of people respond to life's hurts by becoming bitter and angry. And yet Ephesians 4:31 says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger be put away from you with all malice." Why? Because you're the one that's going to get hurt. Hebrews 12:15 says, "Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness causing trouble, and by this many have become defiled." Your bitterness not only causes trouble for yourself, but it will cause trouble in reconciling with those with whom you are bitter. And what does he say? Don't fall short of the grace of God. Guess what? I have hurt God many times. You have hurt God many times with rebellion and disobedience and thoughts that are not right. But God forgives you by His grace, and we are to forgive. We are to forgive if that mother was not the mother that we feel like they should have been. We are to forgive that prodigal and not hold it against them. But we are not to be bitter, but gracious as the Lord Himself is. And then we must reject envy. James 3:14 warns believers against bitter envy in our heart. Galatians chapter 5 says that envy is a work of the flesh, a manifestation of the sin nature. Listen, just because someone has what you don't have doesn't mean you should be envious of them or wish to deprive them of their joy. Again, the verse that I think about often when I hear or witness someone being envious is what I shared earlier, Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice. Be happy for them. If you don't have children, be happy for those that do. If you don't have a husband, be happy for the one that does. Don't be envious and wish to deprive them of their joy. There was a story in the Bible that was brought before Solomon where there were two mothers and one mother lost her child and the other still had his child and they brought it before Solomon and both claimed that the living child was their child and Solomon says, okay, we'll settle this. We'll just cut the baby in half. And you know the story. The true mother said, give her. Give her to the other woman. The envious mother said, yeah, let's cut it in half. If I can't have a baby, she's not going to have one either. Reject envy. And then finally, pray and trust God. Pray and trust God. Psalm 62:8 says, trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. When you face one of life's hurts, pour out your heart before Him and trust in the Lord to heal the hurt, to compensate for the loss. He will certainly do it. In Jeremiah chapter 49 and verse 11, God says, leave your fatherless children. I will preserve them alive. And let your widows trust in me. The fatherless, the widow who has lost so much, God says, turn to me. I'll take care of them. And so pray and trust God in your time of loss. When Hannah was troubled, she went to the tabernacle. And it says in verse 15 of chapter 1, I have poured out my soul before the Lord. And again, that's why we heed 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Yes, life will deal us with blows that hurt, but we can turn to the Lord who will heal our hurts, who will meet the needs of our lives, who will compensate for our losses. Let us trust in the Lord. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we call upon Your name. And Lord, when we call, we thank You that You always answer. And You hear our prayers. And Father, we ask that You will heal our hurts as we lift our hurts to You. Lord, give us joy in knowing that Christ is all we really have to have, all we really need. And Lord, I pray that this day you will help us to give heed to your word as it gives us hope, as it gives us guidance in dealing with life's hurts. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation, inviting you to give your heart and life to Christ, to come back to God if that's the need of your life, to you rededicate your life to the Lord, to unite with this church family. We're going to sing hymn number 433, I Surrender All. And let's stand, and may God lead you in this time of decision.
Well, again, we're going to sing hymn number 433, Church, I Surrender All.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender.
That is your commitment to surrender all to the Lord. There's no better place than right in the center of God's will. Well, we thank each of you for coming, and I want to mention a few announcements as we're dismissed this morning. We invite you back tonight at 6 o'clock as we will share a message about the caring ministry of the church, which should dovetail well with our message this morning. Also, I did a study Wednesday night on what the Bible teaches about gender distinctions, and have a few copies of that in writing if anyone would like to see me at the door at the end if you'd like to read over that. The baby bottle campaign begins today through Father's Day, and you are invited to take a bottle, fill it up with coins, money, and bring it back on Father's Day in support of that very important ministry to young mothers in our community. And so thank you for being with your mom, if that's the case this morning, and each of you for being here for God to worship Him. And let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. I'm going to ask Chris Lee to lead us in this closing prayer.